1 Corinthians chapter 2, last Sunday we studied verse 6. And we looked at what Paul has to say here in verse 6 when he says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak wisdom. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for Your Word. We pray now this morning that as we open it to study it and to look specifically at verse 7 this morning and this issue of the wisdom of God in a mystery, that we'll be careful to rightly divide the Word of truth and allow Your Word to be the authority. Not human viewpoint or opinion or theological tradition, but what Your Word has to say. We pray that we will be Bereans, that we will search the Scriptures to find out whether these things are so. And we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to preach and to teach Your Word, and for these saints to come out week after week to hear Your Word preached. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Last Sunday we looked at verse 6. The previous week we went all the way down from verse 1 down to verse 5. And there's just some verses that you can move quicker through and others that are more meaty or more loaded with information that require us to be thorough and make sure that we're understanding things properly. So, by way of introduction and review, last week we looked at verse 6, and in summation we observed the following point. Just read verse 6 with me. He says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." And we saw first that while Paul does not use excellency of speech in verse 1, nor enticing words of man's wisdom in verse 2, when he determined to not to know anything among the Corinthians save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, this does not mean that Paul never spoke wisdom, according to verse 6. If you look at verse 6, he says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are what? That are perfect," right? We looked at there's a particular kind of wisdom that Paul was speaking, and he was only speaking it as of this time in his ministry to a particular group of people, okay? Paul was speaking wisdom, he says in verse 6, among them that are perfect. And we talked about that perfect here is talking about spiritual maturity. It's not talking about being without sin or never sinning or never doing anything wrong, but it's talking about a state of spiritual maturity. And he spoke this wisdom of God. He spoke this wisdom among those that were spiritually perfect. The problem was the Corinthians were not. Go to chapter 3 quick. Look at verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. For I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye what? Able." So we talked about the fact that Paul, go back to chapter 2, look at verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Did Paul know more information than he preached when he went to Corinth? He made a specific, willful determination to limit his teaching among them simply to the basic facts of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That does not mean that Paul didn't know the mystery. That does not mean that Paul never taught the mystery as of his ministry in Corinth. It just means that he looked at them and he made a determination that based upon their state of maturity, that they were not yet able to handle that information. And so he says in verse 6, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are what? That are perfect." We'll get to why it's the mystery when we look at the next verse in a moment. Okay. Third, we saw that the wisdom Paul was speaking among the perfect was not from either of the following two sources. Look at the verse. It was not from number one, the wisdom of this world, and it was not from number two, the princes of this world. So we talked about the wisdom of the world a lot in previous messages. Didn't say much about it last week. We looked at and focused on the issue of the princes of this world. Spent a lot of time talking about that. And fourth, we saw that the wisdom of the princes of this world is a reference to the spiritual entities in the heavenly places that occupy positions of governmental authority that correspond and impact the earthly seats of governmental authority. And we looked at Daniel 10. And we looked at these verses here from Ephesians chapter 2 about Satan. Paul recalls Satan, the prince, the power of the air. In Ephesians chapter 6, he says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness where? In high places. And we talked about how the princes of this world there is a reference to those spiritual entities and the wisdom that they had among themselves. And last, we saw, if you look at verse 6, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught." Both categories, the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of the princes of this world, both of them in the end are going to come to what? Not. They're going to be nothing, right? They're going to be of no value. They're going to be of no substance. And so that's not what Paul was preaching among the perfect. Paul's not going in among the spiritually mature and saying, okay, now that you guys are mature, now I'm going to give you man's wisdom. That's not what he did. He said, now that you're mature, now I'm going to give you some wisdom from who? From God that you can handle. Now let's look at verse 7 for this morning. What's the first word of verse 7? But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So he just finished verse 6 and he said, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but. So the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of the princes of this world, both of those categories of wisdom, they both are going to come to what? To nothing, right? So that's not what that's not the wisdom that he's speaking among the perfect, right? So please note that this first word of verse 7 is a contrast, right? He's contrasting what he's going to contrast the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of the princes of this world that come to nothing with something that is not going to come to nothing. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? In a mystery. Now, so Paul is contrasting these two things. The nature of the two categories of wisdom that he identified in verse 6 with this wisdom of God in a mystery that he's going to talk to you about in verse 7 and 8. Now, I want you to look at the next part of the verse. He says, but we speak. Note, if you will, that the verb is in the present tense. The verb there, we speak, is in the present tense. Once again, in Greek, this verb is a present indicative, which means something which is occurring while the speaker is making the statement. In order for Paul to speak, in order for Paul to talk among the perfect, among the spiritually mature, about the wisdom of God in a mystery, does Paul have to know what it is? Yes. So he knows that information, or at least part of that information at this point, and he's speaking it at this point among those that are spiritually mature or that are perfect. He says in verse 7, contrasting with those two categories of wisdom, he says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So as I just said, in other words, Paul already knows the contents of this wisdom that he is speaking among the perfect. If he didn't, he would not be speaking it. So Paul is not like talking about something he doesn't know anything about. He's talking about something that he has come to understand and is at this point in his ministry talking to those who are perfect or spiritually mature about this. Now, notice what he says going further. He says, hang on a minute. But we speak the wisdom of God how? In a mystery. So the thing that Paul is speaking has something to do with the wisdom of who? Of God, right? Once again, folks, the word translated wisdom here is the word Sophia. Sophia that we've been seeing over and again as we've been going through these passages here. So thus far, we have seen this word, the word wisdom or Sophia, apply to both man's wisdom and God's wisdom. So let's look at a few things. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. Whose wisdom is that? Is that man's wisdom or God's wisdom? That's man's wisdom. Verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Whose wisdom is that? What? That's man's wisdom, right? Verse 20. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Again, a reference, Sophia, to man's wisdom there. Verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after what? Wisdom. Drop down to chapter 2, look at verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not in excellency of speech, or with what? Wisdom. Chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So does that word Sophia sometimes refer to man's wisdom, the wisdom that belongs to men, or the wisdom that belongs to the world? Okay? But it also is used in the same context here to refer to the wisdom that belongs to God. Go back to chapter 1, look at verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, The world by wisdom knew not God. So there you see in verse 21, in the wisdom of God. Look at verse 24. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the what? The wisdom of God. Verse 30, chapter 1, verse 30. But of Him, that's in Christ, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, made of who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So there again you have the wisdom that belongs to who? To God. So we've seen this already, right? We've seen man's wisdom contrasted with God's wisdom. That's the same thing we're seeing here in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Only this time, he is contrasting not only God's wisdom with man's wisdom, but he's also contrasting God's wisdom with the wisdom of the princes of this what? World in verse 6. So in verse 7 he says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So as I just said to you, not to get too far ahead of myself, here in verse 7, Paul is identifying a specific or particular aspect of the wisdom of God that he's speaking about, which would be what in the verse? But we speak the wisdom of God. How was Paul speaking the wisdom of God? He was speaking the wisdom of God in a what? In a mystery. So the wisdom, just think about that statement. The wisdom of God in a mystery is what Paul is speaking here. He's speaking this among them that are what? Perfect or mature, right? So this is information that had not previously been made known. The word mystery, it's the wisdom of God in a mystery in the verse. Excuse me for a second. Paul is speaking about the wisdom of God in a mystery, and this is coming from the Greek word mysterion. All right? The English word mystery carries the following relevant meanings. Okay, number one, a profound secret. Something wholly unknown or something kept cautiously concealed and therefore enticing curiosity or wonder. Third meaning, according to Webster's 1828 Dictionary, that which is beyond human comprehension until explained. Okay? That which is beyond human comprehension until explained. In this sense, mystery often conveys the idea of something awfully sublime or important, something that excites wonder. Paul is saying here that he is speaking the wisdom of God in a what? In a mystery. Now, just in case you might be inclined to misinterpret that and think that he's talking about something that's just, you know, like really cool or something like that, do you have another phrase after that to clarify what he's talking about? This wisdom of God in a mystery that he's speaking here, what kind of wisdom is it? It says, even the hidden what? Wisdom, right? So he's talking about something that is unknowable, that is, let me look at it, wholly unknown or concealed and beyond human comprehension apart from God what? Showing it to man, right? Or revealing it to mankind. So if God does not choose to enter into time and history and space and tell mankind this mystery, is there any other way that man is going to be able to know this information? No. And we'll get to that more detail here in a minute. So the idea here is that Paul is speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery. He's speaking some things that had not previously been what? Made known, that had been previously kept secret. So if you think about this, Paul is speaking the wisdom of God as it relates to something that was wholly unknown or beyond human comprehension until explained. In other words, Paul is speaking about a particular aspect of God's wisdom that was fully outside of man's wisdom or the princes of this world's ability to know until God made it known or until God made it known or revealed it. This is the wisdom that Paul is speaking among the perfect. Paul is speaking among the perfect some information that they have no other way of knowing. It's not going to come to them through the wisdom of men, and it's not going to come to them through the wisdom of the princes of this world. world. The only way it's going to come is that God chooses to reveal something that He had heretofore kept a secret about and made it so that man could not possibly what? Know it. Now again, if you just look at the verse, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So is He speaking about the wisdom of the world? Is He speaking about the wisdom of the princes of this world? No, He's speaking about the wisdom of God in a mystery, right? Now look at it. Comma, even the hidden one. So that elaborates on this mystery, right? This wisdom of God in a mystery that He's speaking about, He another name for it is the hidden what? The hidden wisdom, right? It's the wisdom that belonged to God that He had what? That He had kept secret, right? That He had hidden. That He had not revealed. That He had not made known. Okay? Paul is speaking about this wisdom among them that are perfect. Which means, again, that Paul himself has to know it. So let's look at this issue here. This phrase is elaborating on the nature of this wisdom of God in a mystery. The phrase, even the hidden wisdom. It is the hidden wisdom of God. God hid this wisdom in Himself. Not a single entity in God's creation knew about this mystery until God chose to reveal it and make it known. Let's look at a few verses on this. Come over to Romans chapter 16. Come over to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Some of these verses we'll be coming back to a bit later on to make another additional point. Verse 25. Now to Him that has the power to establish you, according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, now watch, according to the revelation of the what? What kind of wisdom was Paul speaking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7? We speak the wisdom of God in a what? In a mystery, even the hidden what? Wisdom. Look at this verse. The revelation of the mystery, which was kept what? Secret since the world what? Began. Look, if it was kept secret, was it hidden? Yes, God kept a secret. He hid some information. He hid some wisdom in Himself about what He was intending to do with His creation. He hid it in Himself, and He didn't talk about it, and He didn't tell anybody about it. And Paul's message and Paul's ministry is about making known to humanity this aspect of God's wisdom that had previously been kept what? Secret or hidden. Come with me to Ephesians 3. Come over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 3. Now, if it's hidden God, if it's the hidden wisdom, and it was kept secret since the world began, what's the only way man's going to know it? The only way that man's going to know it is if God what? Reveals it. Look at this verse, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. How that by revelation He made known unto me what? The mystery. How did Paul come to learn the mystery? He learned it by revelation, right? God Almighty, through direct divine revelation imparted spiritually to the mind and the heart of the Apostle Paul some information about the wisdom that he had since the world began but kept secret, right? God had it. God knew what it was. He just didn't tell anybody about it. He kept it hidden until He, by the process of divine revelation, gives it to who? Paul. Notice how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery. In other words, does Paul already know it when he writes Ephesians? Drop down to verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, now watch, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid where? Now, does that verse say hidden in the Old Testament? Does that verse say hidden in the prophetic writings? Does that verse say hidden anywhere at any point in the Scripture? It was hid where? It was hidden God. Why was it hidden God? Because it was God's wisdom that He kept what? Secret. So God planned, God intended to do something with His creation that he didn't tell anybody about until through the process of divine revelation, he reveals it to who? The Apostle Paul. Now, go back up in the passage, verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to you, word how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. That language there, he says in verse 2, he says, which is given to me to what? To you word. So is Paul going to get this revelation? Is Paul going to be, through divine revelation, come to understand the contents of this hidden wisdom, this mystery, and Paul's just going to say, wow, this is great stuff. I'm so glad you told me this, Lord. But I feel special because I know something nobody else knows. Is that why he did it? He revealed it to Paul so that Paul could teach it to what? Others. So Paul, through divine revelation, comes to understand the contents of the mystery. This mystery, it was hidden God. It's defined as the hidden wisdom. And it was not talked about, spoken about, or made known since the world what? Began, until it is revealed to Paul, and Paul is then commissioned and charged with the responsibility of sharing it with what? With other people, with mankind. Come over to Colossians chapter 1. Come over to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. Now watch. Which is given to me for who? For you. Okay? To fulfill the word of God. Even what? Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations. What are the next two words? But now is made manifest unto his what? Saints. How is it now made manifest? It is now made manifest because God Almighty revealed it first to who? To Paul, and gave Paul the responsibility of teaching it to what? Other people. So come back with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When Paul says this, he says in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden what? Paul is speaking about, talking about here, and making known some information that had not previously been made known, talked about, or spoken about. God revealed the contents of His secret purpose to the Apostle Paul so that Paul could make it known to the world. It was his knowledge of this secret purpose that Paul was making known here among them that were what? That were perfect, right? Folks, at this time, was Paul out there in every situation, in every circumstance, preaching this necessarily, or was he teaching it to people that he deemed were ready for it? That's what it's talking about in verse 6 when it says that he's speaking this wisdom among them that are perfect, right? Are the Corinthians still babes in Christ? Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Were they ready for this information when Paul was there? Are they ready for it now? Go back to chapter 3, look at verse 2. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you what? Hey, well, Paul's telling them here, look, what Paul is saying to them is, there's more information that I would like to give you, but the problem is what? You can't handle it right now. You guys are still too immature. You are still not ready to be able to understand and do with and have this work in you and with you in the appropriate manner. So God is revealing the contents. Now look at verse 7. Look at the next part of the verse. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Now look at which God ordained when. When did God ordain this? Before the world. So when God makes it known, is He making known something that was an afterthought? Or is He making known something that He purposed to do before He did anything else? You see that? This is ordained before, which God ordained before the world began. God ordained before the world began that Paul would speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The English word ordained means appointed, instituted, established, invested with ministerial pastoral functions, settled, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary. The Greek word translated ordained is variously rendered as follows by the King James translators. Hold your hand here and come over to Acts 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 28. Acts chapter 4, verse 28. It says here, "For to do whatsoever they had, and thy counsel determined before to what?" Now this is talking about earthly things, right? Did God determine before the foundation of the world that He would reveal this secret wisdom? That's what Paul's saying, right? God determined before the foundation of the world, before He did anything else, before Genesis 1:1 and He created heaven and earth, God determined that He was going to keep a secret, that it was going to be His hidden wisdom, that He was going to keep it and hide it in Himself, and when the appropriate time came, He would what? He would reveal it and make it known. God is determining this, He's ordaining it, and He's doing so in advance. He knows what He is going to do. So by the time you come over here, and it's unfolding to and through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, is this an afterthought, or is this something God intended to do from way back before He did anything else? Okay? So while it may be the last thing God does in time, in terms of revealing Himself and His wisdom, it is not the last thing God had in mind. It was what? So it's the first thing in His mind, it's the last thing revealed in what? That's a nice little rhyme. First thing in His mind, last thing revealed in time. There you go, I should write a book about that. Come over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. The same word appears here that's translated ordained. It says, "For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He also called, them He also justified," and so forth, right? To ordain, to determine beforehand, to predestinate. These words are talking about the same concept, right? God in eternity past, before He did anything else, did He predestinate that He was going to do something with this wisdom that He was going to hide in Himself? Did He predestinate that He was going to form the church, the body of Christ? That He was going to reveal this information to and through the Apostle Paul? And that He was going to do something different than what He talked about since the world what? Began. Come over to Ephesians chapter 1. See, folks, the thing you need to understand about the mystery and the wisdom of God in a mystery is, like I just said, even though it takes God, there's pages and pages and pages of biblical history before you get to the life of Saul of Tarsus, who becomes Paul the Apostle, even though there's a bunch of stuff that happens from Genesis 1:1 all the way to that point, when Jesus Christ shows up to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, and many times thereafter, and reveals information to him, is that something that God did as a total complete afterthought, or was it in His mind to do before He did anything else? That means, folks, that you and I are a part of something that God planned and purposed for and made all the arrangements for in advance to be a part of and a member of the church, the body of Christ. To be a part of something that God was going to do for Himself in the universe that He created for Himself. Your salvation and mine. No, look, is salvation from hell and eternal punishment a great thing? It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing, right? But you know what that is? It's just the tip of the iceberg. Because when you study your Bible and you understand who God has made you in Christ and what God is intending to do with the church, the body of Christ, out there in the heavenly places, and you come to realize that you're going to be a part of the heavenly government out there in the heavenly places, and that God purposed to have that be the case from before the foundation of the world, that's awesome. Okay? That gives you a purpose. That gives you a hope. That gives you a reason to keep on going. It gives you something to look toward and to hope for. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Notice that these verses do not say that you are predestined to salvation. Okay? They say that you are predestined. Go back to verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Notice what that verse says. That verse says, according as He hath chosen us where? In Him. Does that verse say, according as He hath chosen us to be in Him? No. It says, according as He hath chosen you where? In Him. You're not chosen for anything. You're not predestinated for anything until you, by faith, get into the Lord Jesus Christ. That God Almighty, before the foundation of the world, predetermined that He was going to do certain things and accomplish certain things through the cross work and the ministry of His own Son. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing, you need to, by faith, make the choice to get into Jesus Christ. Once you are in Jesus Christ, now do you have a predetermined destiny and future? Well, you had one in Adam, right? It just wasn't a good one. But now that you're in Christ, are you predetermined? Look at what it says, verse 5 again. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, because you are in Christ, what God predestinated and ordained back there in eternity future was that He would take anybody that was in His Son and He would make all of them a joint heir with His Son. Whoa. That's cool. That's a lot better than that dumb game yesterday. As much as I cared about it at the time. Okay. Come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 7. But we speak wisdom of God. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained when? Before the world. Now look unto what? How's that verse end? Unto our what? When Paul says our, he's not just talking about himself. He's talking about all the Corinthians. Even though they're not mature enough to totally get what he's talking about, does the fact that they are not spiritually mature yet to comprehend exclude them from taking part in the glory that God, before the foundation of the world, determined He would give the body of Christ? Let me say that again. Are the Corinthians spiritually mature? No. Does their spiritual immaturity exclude them from being a part of this glory? Absolutely not. And he says, but we speak the wisdom of God, the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our what? Glory. Note the phrase, our glory, at the end of the verse. Paul is including the Corinthians with himself in the glory that is revealed via the manifestation of God's hidden wisdom. Now, folks, before the world began, he says in verse 7 here, but we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. I don't want you to miss something here. Before the world began out there, God purposed and ordained some things, right? One of the things that He purposed and ordained is that the body of Christ collectively together would share in the glory of His Son. Our glory, he says. Now, this ordaining here, this ordaining takes place when? According to verse 7. Before what? Before the world. Folks, you need to understand in your Bible that there is a difference between since the world began and before what? The world began. I have been preaching since 10:45. Right? I looked at the clock. Was I preaching before that? That was different. See, come over to Luke chapter 1. I was getting myself in trouble in Sunday school. That's what I was doing. Come over to Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Remember the story here. The angel appears to Mary and announces that she is going to bear Jesus, the Savior, right? Around the same time, her cousin Elizabeth, who is also barren, and so forth, they get information that they are also going to have a son, and this is going to be John the Baptist, right? And if you remember, when Zacharias hears about this, is he like, oh, yeah, right. Is he real accepting of the information, or is he skeptical? He's skeptical, right? So as a result, Zacharias is struck dumb, can't talk until the birth of his son. Now look at verse 67. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of who? Of who? Of Israel. For he hath visited and redeemed his what? His people. And hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Did God swear in a covenant promise to David? Shake your head yes. Right? What do you know from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12? The covenants and promises were made with what group of people? The circumcision or the uncircumcision? The circumcision, the nation of Israel. So here is Zacharias talking, and he's using Israel's Old Testament prophetic scripture. Keep reading. Verse 70, and he spake by the mouth, notice, of his holy prophets, which have been since the world was. Have God's holy prophets been saying things since the world began? Verse 71, that we should be safe from our enemies and from the hand of all them that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He swore unto our father. Everything He says here has a direct impact upon who? Israel. Who are strangers in time past from the covenants of promise? Zacharias was talking about the covenants that were made to their fathers in time past. And he's saying all those things now are about ready to start to come what? Come to pass and come to fruition and so forth. And he says that this is the information that the prophets have been speaking about and talking about and making known since when? Since the world began. Come over to Acts chapter 3. Come over to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. Peter says here, but those things which God hath before showed by the mouth of all His what? Who? Prophets. That Christ should suffer, He hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world was. Had God instituted prophets to speak about, talk about, write about different things that were going to happen as they pertain to the nation of Israel? And these prophets have been talking and writing and speaking since the world what? Began, right? And they've been foretelling what God would do in the earth through the nation of Israel, and God's intent and plan to, through that nation, repossess the authority in the earth back to Himself through that nation. That, is there anything about any of that was a secret? No. All of that had been spoken about, talked about, prophesied about since the world what? Began. Compare that with me, if you would, come over to Romans chapter 16 again. Come over to Romans chapter 16. Verse 25. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to Him that has the power to establish you according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept what? Secret how long? Since the world what? Folks, is there a difference between what the prophets have been talking about, speaking about, and making known since the world began, and that which God kept secret since the world began? If words mean anything, can those two things be the same? No. And Paul is about the process now of making known what God had kept secret since the world was. But even though it was kept secret since the world began, was it in His mind to do, and did He ordain it before the world began? Okay? So understand that Paul, the content of Paul's revelation takes you all the way back to before Genesis 1:1 and shows you what God intended to do before He did anything else. He made the plan, the Godhead, they sat down, they came up with the plan, and they among themselves decided that they weren't going to what? They weren't going to reveal it, and they hid it in themselves until the time came to reveal it to who? To the Apostle Paul. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 3 again. Folks, if you're going to understand your Bible, you have to understand the difference between God's prophetic dealings with the nation of Israel in time past, where He swore in covenantal promises to those folks, where He made predictions and so forth about what would happen and what would transpire for them, where the nation of Israel has a favored standing and status before God, and any Gentile that wants a relationship with God has to go through who to get it? Go through Israel, right? Is there anything in the Old Testament about God setting Israel aside and reconciling the entire world in one body by the cross? Is there anything about that in the Old Testament? Was that in God's mind to do before the foundation of the world? There's nothing about that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, again, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of what? Of the world hath been hid where? See now, did they ordain to do it before the world? So when they ordained to do it before the world, they decided they were going to do it. And then when God created the earth, they did what? They hid it in themselves, right? And they said, we're not going to tell anybody about it until the appropriate time. That's why human wisdom, that's why the wisdom of the principalities and powers and so forth, that's why the wisdom of the, what's the word I want? The rulers of the dark, princes of the world, thank you. That's why that wisdom can never know about this, because they ordained it to be so, they determined they were going to do it, but they kept a secret about what they were going to do since the world what? Began. And He says here in verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in who? In God, who created all things by who? By Jesus Christ. When Paul gets this information, he is getting information that nobody in the entire universe, not Satan, not his minions, not any human being, that nobody knew. Because God had hid it where? He'd hid it in Himself. He decided that He would do it that way. So folks, come back to 1 Corinthians. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. There's a difference, as I said, between what God had been speaking about and making known via His prophets since the world began and what He elected to keep secret since the world began. The wisdom of God in a mystery, the wisdom of God, a mystery, takes you back before Genesis 1:1. The hidden wisdom gives us insight into what God ordained and purposed to do before the world unto our glory. You know what that means? That means that this wisdom of God in a mystery, this hidden wisdom, this is the most superior wisdom that exists. This is the most superior wisdom that exists. It's better than man's philosophy. It's better than whatever the principalities and powers, the princes of this world think they know. It is better than anything else. It's superior. And it is ordained before the world unto our what? Unto our glory. Come back to Ephesians chapter 3. And we'll start working on concluding. It's my personal, private, subjective opinion, you're free to disagree if you want, that there's a tendency of what happens among grace believers sometimes. Does the Bible teach that knowledge puffeth up? Does it? If the wisdom of God in the mystery is the pinnacle and the summit of God's wisdom, which I believe that it is, there's an inherent danger amongst those of us that have been fortunate enough to come to understand it, for it to create within us an arrogancy. And a tendency and sometimes a propensity to sort of look down on those who don't understand this, and to function possibly with a bit of a superiority complex. We need to not allow our knowledge of the wisdom of God and a mystery to make us think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Okay? Because what we need to do is what verse 10 says. Why did God take this information that He had hidden Himself from the beginning of the world, this thing informing the body of Christ that He purposed to do before the world? Why did He choose to take this thing and make it known and to reveal it? Look at verse 9 and then verse 10. And to make all men see. What is the fellowship of the mystery? There's this attitude that exists that grace churches need to be small. Now, most grace churches are going to be small, right? And the reason they're going to be small is because there's a policy of evil against the mystery. I understand that, right? But that does not mean that we can like just have a mutual admiration society here where we're just all navel-gazing at each other about the mystery. Okay? The mystery was not revealed to Paul so that Paul and a few guys could sit around in a closet somewhere and say, man, look at how much information about the Word of God we have. No. Why did he give it? He gave it, verse 9, to make all men see what is what. Our ministry needs to not be about mutual admiration society. Our ministry needs about taking the information about the mystery and teaching it and preaching it and being about having all men what? See it. There's an attitude that exists amongst some in grace circles that we ought not teach and preach this information. We need to teach and preach to the lowest common denominator. That is not Pauline thinking. Pauline thinking is to have all men be saved, number one, and second, to come to a knowledge of what? The truth. Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and 26 say, now to Him that has the power to establish you, how? According to number one, my gospel. That's the issue of having all men be what? Saved. The issue of having all men come to the knowledge of the truth is the rest of that verse. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made what? Manifest, he says, right? And in addition to the scriptures of the prophets. See, you have to understand how the mystery fits with the rest of the Bible in order to be established. But this is not something that we should just sit around and say, oh, aren't we so good that we know this mystery and nobody else does? He says in verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And we'll have to talk about this verse more next time, but he says, to the intent that sometime in the future, what's it say?
Now.
That now. That's right now. Under the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church. Who's that? That's us. Might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of who? What wisdom is Paul preaching among them that are perfect in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7? He's preaching the wisdom of God in a what? Mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world in our glory, right? This is not something that we just keep in a bottle like we're a bunch of genies and if you just rub it right, it'll come out. This is something that we need to be about making known. Because understanding this is a vital key. Listen, folks, how much of the professing church today is running around like they're spiritual Israel? Claiming everything from the Old Testament and committing spiritual theft. Trying to take Israel's promises, Israel's this, Israel's that, and put them on them. And it doesn't work. And when it doesn't work, they throw up their hands and they say, why isn't it working? Because that ain't what God's doing anymore. He's revealed information about the fact that He has changed the program. And not only has He changed the program, but the change in the program is what He decided He wanted to do before He did anything else. And people are mad at God. Well, God, why didn't God do it this way? Or why didn't God do it that way? Well, who do you think you are when God tells you what He's doing and why He's doing it? We need to be about verse 10. To the intent that now under the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You know what that verse means? That means that you and I right now teach the principalities and powers in heavenly places things about the wisdom of God and the mystery that they didn't know. That's a lot better than that game. That's something with eternal what? That's something with eternal purpose and value. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about glory. Now, I've got to finish this point. Look back up at verse 1. This mystery, this wisdom of God and the mystery, this thing that he's talking about over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, it relates to the formation of the church, the body of Christ. Look at verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me the U word. Now watch. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Notice how he connects the dispensation of the grace of God in verse 2 with the revelation of what? The mystery in verse 3. And then he goes on to say, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now what? Revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that, the purpose and the intent, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. The mystery, the formation of the formation of the dispensation of grace, the time period in which He's forming the body of Christ, is the content of the secret wisdom. It's the content. It's what God is doing today. It's more than that, but that's a big part of it. Do you read about God? Do you read anywhere in the Old Testament about God reconciling Jews and Gentiles to Himself equally in one body by the cross? Nope. You can search the Old Testament until your eyes bug out of your head and you'll never find it. You know what you will find? Will you find God blessing Gentiles in the Old Testament through Israel? But you won't find God taking both and reconciling them equally in one body by the cross. Because that is part of what? The mystery. Come back with me to 1 Corinthians 2 and we'll close. I was preaching two weekends ago in Ohio, and it's been common nomenclature or terminology amongst Grace folks for a while that this truth was lost and then recovered. And I said, I reject that. This truth was not lost. If I lose my keys, what does that mean? Where in the world did I put those dumb keys? Right? Was the truth lost? Throughout the entire history of the dispensation of grace, was the truth there in the Word of God the whole time? The truth was not lost. The truth was willfully abandoned. People made a decision to say, there's the truth. I don't want it. But was it there the whole time? And were there pockets of believers down through church history that saw it, acknowledged it, and stood for it in varying degrees? Yes. One of them is the Pauline. So just as it was willfully abandoned, what it has experienced in the last 100 or 200 years or so is a systematic resurgence. It was not lost and then recovered. It was willfully abandoned, followed by a what? Resurgence. But was it there the whole time? And anybody that had a Bible, that was a big problem, right? Catholic Church had the Bible locked away in a bunch of Latin documents nobody could what? Read, and they didn't have a Bible in their own what? In their own language that they could read and understand, but that's another topic for a different day. But was it there? It was there. Was it knowable? It was knowable. So let's not think of ourselves as these great, wonderful people because we've come to know it. Anybody could have known it. What we need to do is cherish what we know and allow it to be the thing that motivates us. You know, I work with guys who have no hope beyond that dumb game yesterday. And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm being serious. Okay? Maybe it still would have been a dumb game. In eternity, does that game mean a hill of beans? What means a hill of beans is what God's doing today. Okay? And yeah, I watched it, and I had a good time watching it. I was disappointed at the end, same as some other folks were. If you were on the other side, you were happy. But the point is not, the point is what are we doing? And what are we valuing in our lives that is of real eternal value? Because you, whether you know it or not, whether you ask for it or not, whether anybody told you about it till right now, you are involved in a teaching ministry that reaches out there into the heavenly places and teaches those princes of this world things they never knew. When you make known the wisdom of God in the mystery. Okay? In the movie Gladiator, this is my last thought, in the movie Gladiator, in the opening scene, Russell Crowe's character, the Roman general Maximus, he's standing out there in front of his men and he's trying to motivate them to go out and fight this battle. And he says to them that what you do in life matters in eternity. You know that's true. That's true. What you do in life does matter in eternity. So what we need to do is we need to orient our lives and our thinking around what God says He's doing and be a part of that. Dearly Father, thank You once again for Your Word. for these saints that have gathered here this morning to hear your word preached. Lord, we pray that as we continue to study through this passage where Paul is touching upon issues related to the mystery, that we'll be careful to understand how we fit in and where we fit in. We need to understand that our lives matter in eternity. That this is not just a mutual admiration society, that there's a job, that there's a purpose, there's a work that needs to be done. And that work is to have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We pray, Lord, that if this assembly is about anything, it's about valuing and esteeming the same things that you value and esteem. Not just collectively as Grace Life Bible Church, but individually in the lives of those families that comprise it. Because we understand that collectively we will only be as strong as the individual families that make up the assembly. There's a life here. There's a reality here. This is not just abstract doctrine floating around on a page. This is a taking this and putting it into practice and living it in the details of life. We pray that we would understand that and seek and endeavor to do that with the help of your word and the Holy Spirit. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.